Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, the Iowa caucuses last night gave us no huge surprises, but it's interesting that the Los Angeles Times today is saying that Rick Santorum, who, by the way, is one of the five of the six candidates that signed the personhood pledge, you realize the top six candidates based on the actual voting, the polls leading up and the voting, five of the top six signed the personhood pledge, and Rick Santorum tied with Mitt Romney at about 25% each. And the LA Times says, well, Santorum is not going to get any kind of a bump from coming in essentially tie for first place. So is that actually their political assessment, or is that just their hatred of pro-lifers going through onto their newsprint? Which is it? Is it their sober political assessment, or is it merely their hatred shining through? So when you look at, by the way, our phone number here at Bob Enyart Live is 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. When you look at the vote and how the percentages were distributed, it's interesting to see that the five of the six Iowa caucus candidates who signed the personhood pledge received a total of what percentage of the vote? 75% of the total vote. 75%. So when People for the American Way wrote, quote, "It is remarkable to realize how, in just a few years, the personhood movement has gone from a fringe effort that had no support to a central part of the Republican presidential primary," that's just astounding. And yes, 75% of the total vote in Iowa went to five of the six candidates who signed the personhood pledge. Mitt Romney did not sign the pledge, and neither did John Huntsman, but he's not been included because he didn't campaign in Iowa. Interestingly, they're both Mormons, and interestingly, the Mormon Church opposes personhood because they advocate that it should be legal to kill children under various circumstances. And I'll share with you in a moment the Mormon Church's position on what? On when it should be okay, when it should be legal to kill kids. It's somewhat startling, but what's really interesting is that the Mormon Church doesn't hide it. They're right out up front and center, and they say that abortion is wrong, it's a baby, but here are the instances in which it should be legal to kill the baby. And where will I get that information from? Well, it's at the Mormon Church's own website, the official website of what they call the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I mean, it's as easy to find as could be. They're LDS.org, and the positions of their church, and they have abortion. What is the church's position on abortion? So we'll look at all that. By the way, it's all summarized, and there are links at prolifeprofiles.com, of course, right? This Republican primary is heating up, and Mitt Romney, Ron Paul, two of the leading candidates. And if you Google, for example, Mitt Romney and abortion, Pro-Life Profiles is in the top three, depending on where in the country you Google it. And often it's number two or number one out of over a million websites, prolifeprofiles.com. So we'll look at the Mormon Church and their position in a moment. So it's not surprising that Mitt Romney, and John Huntsman that neither of them would sign a personhood pledge saying that every baby should be protected by love and by law. It should not be legal to kill, to intentionally kill any child. But when you look at the percentages of the vote, with Rick Santorum tying Mitt Romney, and you take then the percentages of those candidates who signed the personhood pledge, that's 24.5%, 21.5%, 13.3%, 10.3%, and Michelle Bachmann, who came in at the tail end of that group of five, at 5%, and now she's out of the race. So she has ended her campaign. So that adds up to 75%. Three out of four Iowa voters voted on what issue? They voted on personhood and the God-given right to life of the unborn child. And that's significant. And the candidate whose support was highest among those who said abortion is a number one issue was Rick Santorum. So Rick Santorum, he didn't defeat Mitt Romney because there were five candidates who signed the personhood pledge, and there was one child-killing pro-abort who did not. And so all the child-killing Republicans, for the most part, who were involved in the Republican primary, would be mostly Mitt Romney supporters. So he's got the child-killing contingency all wrapped up. And there were five who signed the personhood pledge who then divvied up the significant part of the pro-life vote in Iowa. So we'll see what happens now that Michelle Bachmann is out. Newt Gingrich and Rick Perry, they struggled back toward the back of the pack, and they're currently still in it. But we'll see now if Rick Santorum, for example, gets a bump. Of course he should. And hopefully, Republican primary voters who care about what? They say they care about traditional values, right and wrong, the things that are tearing apart our country. Hopefully, those who actually care about those things will realize, and I'm thinking of people here in Colorado, people who profess to hold a Christian worldview, like, say, Dan Kaplis, for example, on KHAL Radio. And Dan, just as double-minded as could be, saying, well, if there's evidence that Mitt Romney actually supported abortion, you know, since his pro-life conversion, then I could not vote for him, going from that to celebrating that Mitt Romney's doing so well. So how could that be, Dan? How could that be? And Mitt Romney, remember, now as expected, he did not sign the personhood pledge. But remember, he's done more harm than Hillary and Barack Obama by personally instituting homosexual marriage. Now, Dan Kaplis yesterday did a radio show in Denver opposing homosexual marriage. By that name or any other name, homosexual marriage would be wrong, according to Dan Kaplis. And Mitt Romney created a, you know, an activist court, which conservative Republicans like Dan say they're against. Romney created an activist court on steroids by taking a Massachusetts Supreme Court ruling, their opinion, that didn't even mention him. And he said, you know what? I agree with this so much, I'm going to order our county clerks to issue homosexual marriage licenses. Romney did that. Now, what should he have done? Well, the Massachusetts state constitution says that all law on marriage is the domain of the legislature and the governor and the executive branch. That's what the constitution says. I mean, it was rather thoughtful of them to exclude the judiciary and thinking maybe the judges would be out of control and change the laws on marriage. And so they said that only the legislature and the executive branch have domain over the law on marriage in our state, Massachusetts. So the state Supreme Court is liberal, So they issued the Goodrich decision, and in it, they said, we think homosexual marriage should be legal, and we would like the state legislature to pass a law and legalize homosexual marriage in 180 days. That's what they did. Now, if the legislature was so weak and so wicked that they had done that, Romney, as the governor, should veto that law. That's what he should do. He shouldn't just give in to a tyrannical, perverse, anti-Christian court out of control. But Romney didn't veto the legislature's law. The legislature never passed the law. They didn't pass a law. So Romney took matters into his own hands, and he said, you know what? I'm going to implement homosexual marriage. And he personally, without the authority of state law, instituted homosexual marriage in Massachusetts. First state to do that. And so Mitt Romney has done more. Barack Obama says he doesn't support homosexual marriage. Barack Obama. Mitt Romney has done more to destroy Christian marriage, the institution of marriage, what God himself has established, than has Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Mitt Romney's done more to destroy that. And Dan Kaplis, I'm only using Dan as an example. I love Dan. I have no doubt that he is sincerely pro-life, but he wants to cheerlead for a Republican. And he's afraid of the boogeyman. So if you're afraid of the boogeyman, you might accidentally shoot one of your own kids because you think it's the boogeyman coming in your bedroom. And you think, oh, look what I did. I was afraid of the boogeyman, and I wasn't thinking. So you take a candidate like Mitt Romney, who has already instituted homosexual marriage by his own authority. He had no law that he was implementing. The legislature in Massachusetts should have had courage, known right from wrong, and said, no, we're not going to implement such a law. But if they had been weak and they did pass a law, then Mitt Romney, as governor of the state, should have vetoed the law. That's the whole idea of their state constitution with three branches of government and checks and balances. If one branch is out of control, the others are supposed to be there to protect the state from an out-of-control branch. Instead, the Republicans, like Dan Kaplis, who's a lawyer, who tells us we need Republican politicians and a Republican president in order to stop the activist judges. The activist judges are out of control. They're making law. We need to stop that. So Mitt Romney took a state court that was actually trying to control itself. They realized, they knew their state constitution did not give them authority to legalize homosexual marriage. They knew that. So they didn't do it in their ruling. Now, it would have been invalid, but they stopped short. And what they said was, the state legislature should take up this issue in the next 180 days, and they should pass a law consistent with our opinion. Well, they don't control the state legislature, so the state legislature should have said no. But the state legislature was cowardly, as is typical, and they did nothing. So what happened? Mitt Romney turned the state Supreme Court into an activist court on steroids, and he pretended as though they created a law and they ordered him to implement it, and he implemented it, when none of that is true. Same thing happened with abortion, the exact same thing. The Massachusetts State Supreme Court said, if you're going to have government health care, well, what you should do is provide abortion for rape and incest. That's what the Massachusetts State Supreme Court said in an opinion. So you know what Romney did? He gave us government health care reform that was very much like Obamacare. It was a model for Obamacare, but it went far beyond Obamacare, and it pays for tax-funded abortion, not only for rape and incest, but abortion on demand, late term, the whole thing, everything and anything, by Mitt Romney. So I'm worried for the Christians who are involved in the political process who say they will vote for the lesser of two evils, because it turns out in November, they're going to vote for Barack Obama, because Barack Obama is the lesser of two evils, because those who name the name of Jesus Christ and who get seduced or intentionally take a wolf and dress him up in sheep's clothing, that's the kind of thing that Jesus warned us against. I'd rather you be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. So Christians, pro-lifers, people who say they support the Judeo-Christian definition of marriage between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, and then they say, we got to support Mitt Romney to protect family values, traditional family values, to protect the innocent, for social values, because the economy, he's a socialist. He gave us Obamacare before Obama. His advisors went to Washington, D.C. to help craft Obamacare. And RomneyCare is more aggressively wicked than Obamacare. So that's where we're at. And we're there with conservative Christians, some, thankfully not most, but pro-lifers, claimed conservatives in the media, taking a wolf like Mitt Romney and putting sheep's clothing on him. And Dan Kaplis shouldn't do that. That's wrong, Dan, for you to do that. Also, Mitt Romney, when he gave us government health care reform with tax-funded abortion on demand, that was the second example in the short little presentation of his career as a politician, where he took a court ruling and he turned it into an activist court on steroids. The court says you have to fund abortion for rape and incest. Romney says, well, we'll do you one better. We will fund abortion on demand for any circumstance, surgical abortion, late term, whatever, and we'll pay for it with tax dollars. And when pro-lifers say, well, why did you do that? You're pro-life. We'll say, well, the court ordered us to, which is a lie. It's Romney creating activist judges on steroids. And so it turns out that while that was about the last reason left to support a Republican, it's because of the judges, that was not even a valid reason. As we've documented here on Bob and Your Live, as you can see in Focus on the Strategy 1 and 2, so many of the most wicked rulings that we suffer under have been issued by Republican judges nominated, put in office by Republican presidents, including Roe v. Wade. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. By the way, the Drudge Report, Planned Parenthood's annual report, they took in $500 million in tax money last year, and they did 330,000 abortions. 330,000 children were killed, $500 million in tax money. Republicans have been funding abortion right along with the Democrats, including George W. Bush and his father, full steam ahead. Planned Parenthood says, well, abortion only makes up 3% of our services. 3%? They can't be going by money, right? They can't be going by money. If they were going by people, they say that they served 3 million people, but 330,000 abortions, I can't get 3% out of that. So they're child killers. When a politician says we're going to defund Planned Parenthood, they've been saying that for 30 years. 30 years. And the Republicans, every administration so far, have given Planned Parenthood more than any previous Democratic. So let's go to, oh, and by the way, the log cabin Republicans, that's the homosexuals, they endorse Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney has made promises to the log cabin Republicans that he could do more for them than any other Republican candidate to bring about their agenda. Implementing homosexual marriage was one of his efforts to fulfill his promise to the log cabin Republicans. Let's go to Indiana. Michael, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing well, sir. What's up?
Oh, I've got a question for you about those candidates that are that have signed the personhood pledge.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have asked them one question. I was on that teleforum, and I didn't get to ask the question, but I would have loved to ask them this question because I heard at least Rick Perry say that the abortion issue wasn't about politics for him. And I heard Newt Gingrich say that if Ron Paul got the nomination, he wouldn't vote for it. He couldn't vote for him. My question to you is, the four that really, that the, well, five of them signed it, but we won't count Ron Paul.
Yeah, okay.
The four that signed it, if Mitt Romney should get the nomination, what do you think, Bob? You think they're going to throw in the hat with them and campaign for him?
Oh, do I think who would do that?
Rick Santorum, Michelle Bachmann, all the people that signed the personhood pledge.
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think if Mitt Romney gets the nomination, they will all support him.
If Mitt Romney gets the nomination,
is that what you said?
They're all going to throw their hat in with him.
Oh, that's what you said. Oh, that's happened every single election cycle. And for us someday to get beyond that will take almost an act of God to get beyond that.
Yeah,
but we need to get beyond that because when they say we need to get a Republican victory, that is our one priority, what they're doing is subordinating the Ten Commandments to partisan politics.
Yeah, and even though Rick Perry said it's not all about politics, it will be if Mitt Romney gets in there.
Yeah. I agree.
Newt Gingrich said if Ron Paul got in, he said he couldn't vote for him.
Yeah, and you know, remember Ann Coulter said if John McCain was the presidential candidate, the nominee, that she would campaign for Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
So they're just lying. They're posturing.
Yeah.
It's exciting
that they signed this pledge, but when the rubber meets the road, they're gonna fall in line with the Republicans.
Yeah,
whoever gets the nomination.
But you know what? The pledge doesn't say.
No, I know that.
It doesn't say
it doesn't.
What you're talking about.
No, you're right. It doesn't.
I'm not. You know, we have a candidates questionnaire in Colorado at ColoradoRightToLife.org. There's a 2012 candidates questionnaire, and myself, when I try to bring leaders, even pastors and leaders of pro-life groups and political leaders, when I try to nudge them to the right and get them to protect children without exception, I try to calculate in my mind, you know, what's the best way to go about this?
Mm.
And there's one thing that I have tried to avoid in my Christian life and ministry that a Christian back in the 1830s, he really blew it big time.
Mm.
He translated a version of the Bible. He was a dispensationalist. And here's what he did. He planted dozens of churches. But when he thought someone was doing something wrong, he would excommunicate them.
Mm.
And then he'd ask everyone else to excommunicate that person. Some people agreed and would, and others would not.
Mm.
And if you wouldn't excommunicate that person, then he excommunicated you.
Wow.
And then if your church wouldn't excommunicate those people, he excommunicated your church.
Mm.
And then some churches said, well, we agreed with the first excommunication, but we don't agree that we have to break fellowship with everyone in that church who didn't do the first thing. And so eventually what happened was this guy excommunicated pretty much everybody.
Right.
And so I realized that when you have secondhand excommunication and third hand and say, here's the standard I want you to uphold, now you can't support anyone who doesn't uphold that standard, real quickly on many issues, you'll end up excommunicating the whole world.
Wow.
And so I have tried to learn that lesson from way back in my Christian life when I first learned about this, and I try to be very careful. So anyway, someday we got to get there,
right?
But I don't know how to get there.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Bob. I appreciate you taking my call. I just like to encourage your audience, if they have never read your plot, Get Bob Enyart's The Plot. It changed my life.
Oh, wow. What an honor. So humbling. Thank you, Michael from Indiana.
Thank you, Bob.
God bless you, sir. So John Huntsman, who skipped Iowa, and Mitt Romney are both Mormons. And I don't talk about them being Mormons because I don't support a religious test for office. I don't support that. I know that those Christians who do think that it will improve the government, and I think it will only further harm the church. Because everyone with ambition who wants to be a governing official will just answer correctly, and they'll be a Christian. They'll be a fundamentalist Christian. They'll say they're born again, like George W. Bush, as they promote homosexuality and abortion. So what's the benefit of it? It destroys, and the Roman Empire tried this already. You got to be a Christian to be a governing official, to be a military officer, eventually to be in the military. You got to be a Christian. And that really helped the church at that time, right? No, it destroyed the church. It didn't help the church. Really, it was Satan joining the church. So I don't advocate a religious test for holding political office. But I bring this up that Romney and John Huntsman are Mormons because at ProLifeProfiles.com, in Tier 4, which is Personhood Never, one of the profiles is of the Mormon Church. They call themselves the Latter-day Saints. And they're in Tier 4, Personhood Never, because Mormons, they place the value of some preborn children below the value of others. And they're very explicit when they say, we think abortion, well, they think it's the violating do not murder. It's killing a child. But then they say, we think that abortion should be legal. It may be justified, such as when the pregnancy is the result of rape or incest. So if the father's a criminal, they say you can kill the baby. When the health of the mother is judged to be in serious jeopardy, or when the fetus is known to have severe defects. So if the baby is handicapped, the Mormon Church says, you know, the baby is made in God's image and likeness. It's wrong to kill an innocent child, but if the baby is handicapped, then you could kill it. That's designer genes, right? They're not ashamed. They don't know enough to be ashamed about their support for killing certain children. And so you might want to check that out at prolifeprofiles.com. The profile of the Mormon Church. Just click on Tier 4 for Personhood Never, and you'll be shocked at the list. Hey, may God bless you.